Praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For our God is worthy to be praised. Amen. Welcome all to the house of the Lord. Welcome to your daddy's house. Welcome to God's hospital. Welcome to the temple of the Lord. It all applies. Blessed be his holy name. Hallelujah. And welcome all of you right now watching. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center in Randallstown, Maryland. And here we are once again on another Wednesday. The battle has already won Wednesday. I think we have one more Wednesday to go, right, for the year? I believe. Probably like one more, right? This is the second to the last Wednesday. Wow. And what a year has it been, has it not? I feel like asking this question. Have you received anything on these Wednesday night services?
Yes.
Amen. Have you witnessed, have you seen personal battles being conquered this year in your life?
Yes.
Whereas otherwise, maybe it might have taken a little bit longer, or maybe you didn't see a way out. Have you applied some of the stuff that we have learned here on Wednesdays?
Yes.
Amen. God is so good. You know, last year I had the direction to go that route. I think it might have been in February that I started. January or February. It might have been February, I think, that I started. The battle was already won Wednesday. And I never knew. I never had foreseen that it would go on as long as it has. And to be transparent with you, I didn't think that I was going to do it this year at all. I made an announcement and I said, you know, the Lord will probably have something different, you know, for year 2023. But no, it hasn't. And I certainly have learned so much myself. I have applied so much of what I teach, applied it to my personal life. I could guarantee you now, last Wednesday, you know, that message was for me. You know, I preached from conviction. I preached from experience, you know, for us to always watch because the enemy is roaring around. You know, we watch what we say, what we do, always be on guard. That message that I preached was so much for me, you know. So I have learned quite a bit, and I pray that you also have gained something from, you know, these Bible studies, like, you know, how to keep your healing, the battle is already won messages and such and such. Amen? All right, let's get started. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, we exalt your holy name. And we are so grateful and thankful, Lord, for what you show us, what you reveal to us, how we understand your word and how your word just opens up to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revelation, Holy Spirit revelation. Thank you so much, Lord, that we can come to you and you can teach us and you can guide us. You can give us instructions. And it's up to us, Lord, to put them to use. It's up to us, Lord, to heed to the word of God. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you so much. And as your word, Lord, is being presented tonight, I pray, Holy Spirit, once again, that you will do all of the ministering. That you do, Lord, all of the speaking. May you people, Lord, see you and hear you and not me. Blessed be your name forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians 10. Amen. And we are going to start reading verse 11. Amen. Are we there? All right. Let's read. 1 Corinthians 10, starting verse 11, it says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." Can I hear one amen?
Amen.
Yes. What I meant is in one accord, and that worked out just fine. Praise God. Thank you. So, there's so much here to extract, and I can probably preach two or even three messages just from these three verses that we just finished reading right now. Tonight, we're going to talk about a new kind of temptation. When you read specifically verse 13 in your Bible, we've read this verse so many times, you've read this verse so many times, right? When you think of temptation, commonly you think of things that, you know, you should not be doing. Right?
Right.
For example, I'll start. You shouldn't be gossiping. That's a good one, right?
Right.
You shouldn't be talking about people behind their back. You shouldn't be spreading rumors, spreading stories, make-believes. That's not okay. And God hates that. All right? And some people are so tempted to talk about other people. What's something else as far as temptation? What can you be tempted to?
Donuts.
Yes, donuts. Oh, man. Brother Cecil must have listened or watched yesterday morning's message, right? Right, Sister Helen? Mm-hmm. He's on point with yesterday morning's message. I spoke about diet and temptation. Have I not? You weren't here. No, you weren't here yesterday morning. You watched it online?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good one. Donuts, Coca-Cola. I spoke a lot about Coca-Cola yesterday. Rice, bread, carbs, oh, cakes. Have you tried Brother Cecil's coconut cake? I don't know how he gets that cake so fluffy and light and moist. It's like the perfect... is the perfect storm. Anyhow, what's something else? What's a temptation? Is that a temptation? Anger. Okay. All right. I'll take that. Anyone else? Well, nobody has temptations here. Wow. I'm asking the wrong question to the wrong church. All right. People, you know, right around the corner is tax season, and a lot of people are tempted to add an extra zero or an extra digit or claim more than what they should. People are tempted to do that. Christian people at that. There's so many things that we can bring to the table, right? Alcohol. Some people are tempted to use foul language. Anger, I guess, would, you know, be applied to that. Now, this point of temptation is unmistakable. We are all going to be tempted, every single one of us. It started with the beginning of mankind. Some people say that Eve was tempted 3 hours after the fact, and some people will say, you know, a day or a couple of days. I'm not here to prove how long it was, you know, till she was tempted by the enemy. But ever since man fell, we have all been tempted. All, every single one of us. I can even go down to Cain. The Lord appeared to Cain. The Lord himself spoke to Cain and said, "Watch yourself, because the enemy is knocking at your door." He's knocking. "But you shall rule over him. You shall have dominion over evil." But he didn't listen. Actually, excellent example. Anger. Yeah. He acted on his anger. And the word of God registers the very first murder in mankind. The murder of Abel. Throughout the entire Bible, we see temptation. And in our everyday life, we're all tempted towards something. Hence, us watching. Now, you might be surprised what temptation I'm going to talk about tonight. The things that happened to believers of Israel certainly are examples, and they are warnings for every single one of us to watch. I might have mentioned this cliche, this Portuguese, this Brazilian cliche once upon a time, but if not, allow me to share with you. I like cliches, right? We like cliches, don't we? This makes sense better in Portuguese, but it goes like this. If you were to translate it, it says, "If you see your neighbor's beard on fire, put yours to soak." As a matter of fact, my mother just told me that a couple months ago. If you see your neighbor's beard on fire, put yours to soak. You get it? That's a nice little, you get the fuzzies with that illustration, don't you? The cliche means that if you see the next man, you see his fall, you see his downfall, you see where he went wrong, you see where he missed a step, don't follow down his track. Don't do the same mistakes as he did. As a matter of fact, heed from it. Or I'm sorry, not heed. Flee from it, but... I'm having a word blank right now, but you understand what I'm saying. Don't make the same mistakes as somebody else. And the Word of God gives so many examples of how people have been tempted through time. And it leaves us instructions for us to obey, for us to listen to. And we must for three reasons. The number one is this. This is the number one reason. The end of age has come upon us. The end of the world. We are living in the last days. We are living in the last days. Ever since the Lord Jesus came to earth, we the believers are living in the last age or in the last human period. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the final revelation. And we must approach the Lord God through faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what living in grace means. We are living under grace. This is the age known as the age of grace. Grace being the way God now deals with you and me. We didn't deserve it. But because of grace, we can openly and freely, I should say freely, achieve salvation. It's free. We just have to accept it. Amen? So, being as though we are living in the end days right now, we must learn from Israel's example back when these words were written almost 2,000 years ago. Rest assured in one thing. This includes me. This includes everyone in the leadership team. In any leadership team, in any church, any pastor of any church, any congregant of any church, every single one of us can fall. Every single one of us. We can all fall. We're not exempt. Amen? Especially that person who thinks that he or she can stand. Especially if he or she begins to feel as though they are secure, as though they are safe. When you start thinking that way, you leave yourself vulnerable and susceptible to just about any attack when you start thinking that way. You have to always watch yourself. You have to watch. I would like for us to make sure we don't forget this verse and always keep it in the back of our minds, because it is a warning that people, especially Christian people, they tend to ignore. Why do I say they tend to ignore? Suppose you go to a spirit-filled church, right? And you go to a church where manifestations happen, healings happen, all types of signs and wonders and miracles occur frequently to the point that you have become accustomed, right? All of a sudden, a comfort level arises. And you think now that everything is covered. It's easy for someone to think, oh, I can just run up there and I'd be prayed upon and anointed with oil. Or I can just call the pastor or the elder or the co-pastor or the pastor's wife. We tend to forget that every single one of us, we are accountable. And we have to watch continuously. The Word of God here says, in our opening verse in 1 Corinthians 10, if you zero in on verse 12, it says, let him who thinks he stands, pay attention, take heed, lest he falls. Amen? Now, notice that the very next verse, it speaks about temptation. It speaks about temptation. The previous verse here talks about watch yourself. Watch yourself. And then it talks about temptation. I'm getting ready here to zero in on the meat and potatoes of tonight's message, but I want to lay the foundation right now of what is important. The foundation is this. Take heed. Watch. Always be watchful. I want to show you right now Luke chapter 18, verse 9. And you're going to see where I'm going right now in this message. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 says this. Also he is capitalized, so we know who he is. Also he spoke this parable to some who what?
Trusted
in themselves. Trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. I want you to know one thing today. That these types of people are still in our midst today. I have met many just in the last couple of years. I have known about some for a long time who actually, in all fairness, I don't associate myself with them anymore. There are certain people that they have this attitude of, how can I say it politely, that they know it all, that they've been around the block for a long time, that they are well-seasoned, that they are in a position that they can teach, but they don't want to be taught, especially by someone lower than them or younger than they are. These people are still around today. You know, this is an attitude that has plagued mankind ever since the beginning of mankind. And you know what's necessary for us to overcome this? Humility, which is a trait a lot of times that is so hard for us to acquire, much less master. Humbleness, humility. Amen? It is necessary to humble ourselves first and foremost to the Lord God for us to ever receive forgiveness of sins. Because if you don't, I'm sorry, it's not going to work out for you. All of us have to humble ourselves before the Lord. And God will bring low those who are proud. Meaning, everyone who exalts himself. Let me just remind you that God hates the proud, but shows mercy to the humble. To the humble. He does. Thank you. The exact word is God resists the proud and shows mercy, shows favor, shows grace to the humble. Amen? And so, what does this have to do with anything that we're talking about right now, as far as temptation is concerned? Have you ever considered, have you ever thought that proudfulness is a temptation? Have you ever been tempted to be proudful or prideful of something? Say if you get a brand new car. Right? All of a sudden you're taking showers on a regular basis before you get in your car because you don't want your car to smell, you know. Not that I know from experience, you know, but I guess I used to know some people like that. You know? Hey. Don't breathe too close to my car. All right? Park over there. Or you get something, you know, flashy, nice, and all of a sudden you're thinking that you're a little bit better. You know, you get a nice purse. You get a designer sunglasses. Or, you know, something. You get the latest, you know, Nike shoes, the hottest thing right now. And it's like you're walking funny like one of my nephews. They walk like a penguin. Because they don't want to put creases on them. Anyway, that's besides the point. There's so many things that ensnare us and trap us for us to have almost like a natural, prideful feeling. I hope none of us are overly proud for the new Bible that you just got. Just be proud of that. How about that? Right? There are certain things that maybe you might have worked so long for and been waiting for quite a while, and then once you receive it, you're so proud of it, and you want to show off. But you see, it's the attitude behind it. Amen. It's the attitude behind it. Look at here. Let's put that verse once again on the live stream, if you don't mind. And he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves. Okay, that's the first part, that they were righteous. Here's the second part. And this. Despised. This is the second part of that verse. Despised others. You see, the first comes. You see, the despised is the result of what happens first, which is pridefulness. Pridefulness. And pride comes before the fall. That's why we say in Brazil, if you see your neighbor's beard on fire, put yours to soak. Pride comes before the fall. It does. Amen? And now you're starting to get what I'm trying to say tonight. What the Holy Spirit is trying to teach the church tonight. Let's move on. Let me show you now 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. And the Word of God says this. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. How serious is such a short verse right now? You know, if you think you really know something, I mean, I use this example of people who have been Christians for for 50 years, for 75 years, for 90 years, for 100 years, been a Christian all their life, you know, and they can't learn anything. They're not teachable. You know, you can't tell them anything. They, unfortunately, there are people like that all around, from all walks of society, from all cultures. And I sincerely hope that'll be none of us here, no time soon, any time at all, including you that's watching right now online. You know, clearly the Word of God is trying to say something here tonight, which is, if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he don't know nothing. He knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. Ultimately, let's look here at the back picture of this verse. What this verse is not directly saying right now to all of us is flee from pridefulness. Flee from stubbornness, from thick-headedness. I'm getting actually ready to show you an example here about that. And before I get there, I want to show you this verse that will better clarify 1 Corinthians 8. And that's found in the book of Proverbs. I love the book of Proverbs. I do. Proverbs chapter 28, and we're going to zero in on verse 26, that says this: he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Amen? In contrast of someone who trusts in the Lord, that person, if they don't trust in God, they will trust in something else. And you know what that something else is? Thank you. Themselves. It's either one or the other. It's either one or the other. If you don't put 100% trust in God, why? That 100% trust is going to yourself because of your prideful nature. This is so important for us to understand here, the main concept, which is humble yourself before the Lord. Don't be tempted to trust in yourself. Don't be tempted to do things on your own and trying to figure out things on your own. Here the Word of God says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. This word fool, right now, is the word kasil. Kasil. Which there's two definitions, two words defining this word kasil. Is a fool is the word kasil, which is dull, D-U-L-L. Dull. And the next one, you might be surprised. It is the word thick-headed. You weren't very surprised at that, were you? I didn't think you were either. Thick-headed. Anyone, let's go read this, the verse once again in Proverbs. He who trusts in his own heart is thick-headed. That's not cool. He who trusts in his own might, in his own abilities, is dull. You're not going to be good for anything, right? And who generally are thick-headed? Actually, don't answer that question. I don't want to insult anybody. Okay. We're just moving on. Let's move on. Actually, thick-headed could be anybody, all right? It could be anybody, right? If anyone thinks he stands, you know, let him watch lest he falls. It could be anybody, all right? All right, let's continue. Understand one thing. A person who is wise never trusts in himself. He will trust in the Lord. And the Lord right now is saying that you will be safe with me if you trust in me. The Word of God says, and he will be safe. But whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Delivered here means safe. You could look at delivered from one way, delivered from struggle, but also in a more direct definition to this word, it means safe. You will be safe if you give it all to the Lord. Don't be tempted. Don't be tempted to trust in your own power, in your own intelligence, in your own ability. That is a sign, that is a sign of pridefulness. Amen? And for to conclude here tonight, I love this verse. We're going to wrap up right now in Proverbs chapter 3. We all know this verse, Proverbs 3. And we're going to read 5 and 6. Let's go ahead and read that. Listen how this comes in. This pretty much wraps it all together real nicely. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Amen. Amen, church.
Amen.
Amen. This verse here, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, pretty much explains everything. Trust in the Lord with everything you got, with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Don't be tempted to lean on what you know and what you're trying to figure out and as far as all these things. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and you will be safe. The Word of God said, is saying, He will direct your path. That's all. Just trust in the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
If it's God's desire, we will dive a little bit deeper on it. But who would ever think that a form of temptation is, in all essence, leaning upon your own understanding, being tempted to do things on your own? How about it? Being driven to figure things out on your own, not consulting with the Lord. This is a way of pridefulness. Don't be tempted in trying to do things on your own and try to figure things out all the time as far as what you think is best. You want to be on the safe side at all times. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, we love you. And we thank you, Lord, for your directions. We thank you, Lord, for your word that is here with us to instruct us, Lord, about life, about actions, about attitude. Lord, may we trust in you at all times. May we lean on you, Lord, at all times, and not on what we think we might know or what we think we might have figured out. Because, Lord, you have the best in mind for us, and we are the safest, Lord, with you. We thank you, Lord, so very much for your wonderful word that teaches us. Blessed be your holy name, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, and we love you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Let us continue to praise the Lord with our tithes and offerings.
Thank you, brother.
Let us give thanks to the Lord for this offering. Father God, we bless you for this offering. We bless you for your generosity, Lord, that we can never outdo, but Lord, we can sure try. Lord, We want to give for those who need, and this word gives us guidance. This word tells us that pride is a bad thing, but it's something the devil uses in such a subtle way that we don't realize we're doing that. Lord, may your Spirit show us if we ever step over that line. For Lord, we do not want to fall into that temptation. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.